All right, welcome to First Look, Aldery Community Church's podcast, where we get you ready for our upcoming sermons, the text, the topic, anything to help you get ready to have a discussion with your small group or just to come hear the sermon and grow as a follower of Jesus. And I am so excited to be doing this. This is episode number one, and so thank you for being among the first to join us in this new adventure. We are in a brand new series right now that we're going to be talking about called Justice, and we're looking at what the Bible says about issues around justice. We're bringing in three guest speakers in this series that we're excited about, and so we're going to be talking about the sermon that's coming up on September 20th, and so if your small group talks about a passage before we teach on it, you're going to be having this conversation this next week. If your small group talks about the sermon questions after the Sunday message, then you're not going to need this for a little while after it's released, but we hope that this will be helpful to you whenever you engage with it. And my guest today for our very first episode is the one, the only, Brad McConaughey, lead pastor at Aldery Community Church, who's been here for 22 years, and I just am so excited to have him come talk about our upcoming sermon on race in the local church, because I know that God has been really working in his heart on this issue for a while, that he really has some wisdom for us as a church as we engage in this particularly tricky topic. So I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope you get a lot out of it. And more than anything, I hope that you are better able to represent Jesus to the world around us as a result of this conversation. Let's take a look. Well, Brad, it's great to have you here. The very first ever First Look podcast, Aldery Community Church's first podcast. So this is a big moment, and glad to have you here. As you know, here at First Look, what we're doing is we're helping people get prepared for what we have coming up next as a church. And for some of us, that's because we're leading groups that are going to be talking about these issues. For some of us, it's just that we're participating, or maybe we're just getting ready to come hear the sermon on Sunday. But yeah, I'm really excited to have you here. Thanks for making time.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about our service that's coming up here, where we're going to have a guest speaker, Ricky Jenkins, who's a pastor at Southwest Church in Indian Wells, California. And this is in our series on justice. And so we're taking 4 weeks to look at the idea of justice, what the Bible says about justice, you know, and even just as followers of Jesus, what does it look like for us to care about justice the way that God does? And so we're going to be looking at all kinds of things. Sometimes we're talking about local poverty, we're talking about global poverty and missions. But with Ricky, we're going to be looking specifically at the topic of race. Mm-hmm. And so the local church and race and how we should think as followers of Jesus about topics of race. So, you know, nothing too difficult.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Everyone would be on the same page.
So as we look forward to this and get ready for this, what makes you excited to have Ricky Jenkins come speak with our congregation?
Well, Josh Bishop knows Ricky and has heard him speak numerous times, and he pastors a great church in Southern California that is both multicultural and diverse in age groups, and he just has a love of scripture and discipling people, and his passion is to help people think biblically, and so to know what the scripture says about racism from a black man, I think, will be specifically helpful.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm excited about that. And so, you know, this issue of race in particular, the African-American community in particular. I know that this is something that you've been thinking a lot about recently, something that God has put particularly on your heart. Why don't you just let us know, for those of us that maybe haven't heard your most recent sermons on this, but what made you start thinking about this a little bit more and really start to think that this is something the church needs to think hard about?
Well, a couple years ago in 2018, when I was on my sabbatical, I was listening to a podcast by Matt Chandler, and it was regarding the 2016 shooting of five police officers. Evidently, there was a shooting in Louisiana of a black man by a police officer, and then in Minnesota. And so a particular man in retaliation ambushed police officers in Dallas, shooting at least nine of them, killing five of them. And Matt Chandler's church is in the Dallas suburb, and it really hit that community hard. And so he did a podcast and interviewed both a black deacon in his church and a black staff member. And just hearing their stories about how these grown men felt like they could never go into a store without being looked at and had been pulled over numerous times just because of the color of their skin, it made me begin to realize that I just really don't have a clue about what our black neighbors and brothers and sisters go through, you know. And so I wanted to know more about that, and I listened to some more, and I did some more reading. But more recently, when it came to the vigilante style killing of Ahmaud Arbery and then George Floyd being killed by a police officer, I think it became a national and a global conversation. And so I felt like we can't neglect that. And it's been something that I think the church has been too silent about, even in my upbringing and even in my pastorate here at the church. Both poverty and race, we don't talk about them enough. And yeah, I think the church has a responsibility to not just to address, but to be proactively involved in bringing healing and restoration and justice.
Yeah. That panel with the black pastors that was led by Matt Chandler that you mentioned, I also watched that. That was hugely helpful for me and my thinking. And we'll go ahead and put that in the show notes for any of you listening that want to be able to check that out, so you can watch that yourself. So in the wake of the George Floyd murder, you had the opportunity to address our congregation and just kind of start the conversation around race and injustice and some of that. And you really shared with us from Matthew chapter 22. And that's the great commandment. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, this is where Jesus is asked by a teacher or a lawyer, you know, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And his response, he gives us two, right? He says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. He says this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And you put that in front of us as a way of asking us, challenging us to think about how we love, in particular, our black neighbor, right? And maybe get into that a little bit. What were you hoping our takeaway was going to be from that?
Sure. But I would say, again, what motivated me, not only the national conversation, but also thinking of my upbringing in Southern California, I've really never considered myself racist. As a matter of fact, I'd probably say I didn't have a prejudiced bone in my body. I had lots of black friends, Hispanic friends of all different ethnicities. But what I came to realize after listening to that, the second panel, you referred to another panel of pastors who recounted their own stories of injustice and mistreatment because of the color of their skin. And I was thinking, my goodness, that was in the late 80s. Yeah. And I'm thinking, that sounds crazy that kind of treatment of people would happen at that time. But then after hearing more of that, and then actually being told about a video I saw between a white pastor interviewed a black pastor whom he really admired. And that black pastor said something that really rocked my world. He said, the title of it was kind of off-putting at first. The title of it was Silence is Violence. And I'm still putting my head around that one. I know that can be really offensive to some people. But what this black pastor said, that he said he went to a primarily white denominational school, and he was part of a white denomination, and they wanted him to be part of their denomination because they wanted to be ethnically diverse. But the thing that jarred me, he said, they are happy to accept me, but they don't accept my pain.
Yeah.
And he was referring to both the pain of the systemic injustice of his people and even what he has felt over the years, but also the pain of the lament of another black man killed at the hand of an unarmed black man killed at the hand of a police officer.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that he and some other, that it made me search a lot of other articles of different black men who recounted, again, stories of injustice. It just made me realize I just don't have a clue of what they go through. And so when it came to addressing this passage and me choosing, addressing the issue of racial injustice and how we treat our black neighbors, when I came to this passage, I think the best passage to pick was this one, to love our neighbors ourselves. And I titled it To Love Our Black Neighbors Ourselves. And in order to do that, we have to enter into the world. And I just really haven't done that. And so what I discovered is that my indifference and my lack of involvement, I came to the conclusion, was very unloving.
Yeah.
I really didn't love my black neighbor, to not even care enough to investigate more about what the facts are of discrimination and injustice, or even systemic injustice toward blacks. And so the more I've dug and more I've uncovered, the more I've been appalled, and the more I realize how not only naive I've been, but actually indifferent I've been, and how unloving that is. And so the passage here tells us that when we love our neighbor is how we love God. It's not just two. Those two commandments are not inseparable. We love God by loving our neighbor. That's one of the primary ways we do that. And one of the ways we can love our black neighbor, at the conclusion of my sermon was, is that we'd be empathetic to what they go through. We'd educate ourselves, and we'd try to learn more about what they actually, and actually have conversations and honest conversations with people. And I've done that, and I've been appalled even thinking of some conversations of some black members of Alderwood and the racism they currently experience, have felt, and grew up with.
Yep.
And so that's what's motivated me to address this, to help us to think biblically, to think the way God would think, to change our heart. And this whole series is a continuation of that conversation we had back in June, because I believe that we need to think like Christ thinks. And if we're going to be everyday followers of Jesus, then we need to live as Jesus did, and we need to love as Jesus did.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I really admire the way that you've been engaging with God on this and growing even personally. And I think, kind of like you, you know, where you mentioned that you used to say all the time that you don't have a prejudice bone in your body. And I think, you know, that was similar for me. Like, I think I really wanted to kind of distance myself from issues of race by holding on to the fact that I'm not racist, that I haven't been contributing to this in my own mind. But I think, kind of what I was able to learn with you and from you as you were teaching on this is that it's not enough to just not be a part of the problem, right? I mean, it's not enough to just not be actively racist, but if we're going to love our black neighbors, then that means listening to their stories. It means caring about what they're saying, and not necessarily that we're going to agree on everything with everybody, no matter what the color of their skin, on how to handle these issues. But what I realized myself was that I wasn't even willing to really dig into the details of these issues. I didn't know anything about, you know, some of the systemic things that have gone on in our country for a long time, where we see some racial injustice. You know, I didn't know much about the civil rights movement. I didn't know much about, you know, the season of time after the emancipation, when there was, you know, all these huge racial problems still continuing on, and yet we don't really talk about that much in our schools and our history lessons. And so, I really appreciate the way that you've led us in that, in not being satisfied with just not being a racist, which is, we should start there. That's good. But in really saying, okay, we got to go beyond that. We have to go beyond to saying, what does it look like to really love our neighbor as ourselves when it comes to this issue? So thank you for that. As some of our groups at the church prepare, you know, they are studying passages ahead of the Sunday sermons. And for this particular message from Ricky Jenkins, they're going to be looking at Micah 6. And we're going to have those groups read Micah 6, 1 to 8. And I know that in your message that's coming up in just a few days when we recorded this, that's going to be a key text for you.
Right.
And for those who aren't familiar with it, the prophet Micah is somebody that God used to really condemn Israel. And it is because they have failed to reflect his heart to the world around them. So, you know, God brings up over and over all the things that he's done for them. It's like, I delivered you from Egypt. Like, when you were vulnerable, I protected you. When you were poor, I was the one who provided for you. And yet you are turning around and treating the foreigner, the poor, you're taking advantage of them. And so God is really speaking pretty harshly. And there's this famous verse from Micah 6 that starts to talk about justice. And I'll just read Micah 6, 6 to 8. And maybe we can talk a little bit about why we chose this for this series. So Micah 6, verse 6 says this: "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." And I love this text. And just to make sure we're on the same page, you know, he's saying, what does God actually want from us? And there's kind of this hyperbole of, you know, like you could sacrifice 1,000 calves, you know, 10,000 rivers of oil. Like, does God just want us to give these lavish things to sacrifice? And he says, no. God wants you to live with the heart that he has. And he really focuses on three things, right? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Maybe Brad, just tell us, what made you pick this text as we talk about justice, and as our groups get ready to dive into this, what would you hope that they would take away from it?
Well, I just think that it's an often referred to text, but I think as you just read that, you know, God's criticism of his people often has been that they'll love him with their lips, but not with their heart. Otherwise, they just go through lip service. And he's saying, wait, I don't want all these sacrifices if your heart isn't attached to it. And the same thing for us today. It's not just for Israel. That God wants the heart of his people, because if our heart is right with him, then we will care about the things he cares about. And he cares about the plight of what's often called the quartet of the vulnerable. He cares deeply about the poor, the immigrant, the orphan, and the widow. And we, therefore, because he does, we are. And so the purpose of choosing this passage is saying that what God wants of us more than anything is to have his heart. And if we do have his heart, if we're walking humbly with God, then we will have the same compassion that he has. And that'll be demonstrated by the way we treat others. So to act justly is to treat others, not just by justice, isn't just punishing those who have done wrong, but it's also giving the proper due to those who should receive, like the same word, mishpat, in the Hebrew is used for the priest that received the tithes of the people. That was what was due him. That was his salary, if you will, the 10% of the produce of the people's lands. That wasn't what he lived on, if you will, per se. And so we are to give people what is due. We're to give them justice. It means that we're to care for them and we're to provide for them, not just protection against a wrongdoing, but also so it's not just punishment for wrongdoing, but it's also protection from being wronged against. So we're to care for the needs of others. And so that's what it means to walk with God humbly, is to do that with a compassion in our soul, the mercy aspect of that passage. And so I think that specifically we're going to look at both poverty, those who are poor, as well as those who are unjustly treated because of the color of their skin. So that's why I picked that, because it's so important to God. And we see a lot of other scriptures that just reinforce that. I mean, God himself is referred to often, over and over again, as the father of the fatherless, you know, and so and the defender of the poor.
Yep.
And so because he cares deeply, he has a very tender spot, I've always said, in his heart for the poor. We need to, too. And a tender spot for the vulnerable and the oppressed.
Yeah, it's good. Let's be honest here for a second. You're going to take some heat because we're doing this series.
Yep.
It's not easy to talk about race. It's not easy to have this conversation really anywhere, but even particularly in the church, there's a lot of different opinions on what the church's role is, you know, whether or not we should be having this conversation at all. If so, how? You've already had some emails. Right. You've already had people tell you, you know, man, I love your church, but we're taking 4 weeks off because we're not going to listen to this series. You know, in the past, as you've talked about issues of race, you've been accused of being like a tool of the political left, which I've always kind of thought was funny. But while there is some humor you had in some of those conversations, it really is it's a serious thing, because I think it shows that it's hard for us to have this conversation well. Mm-hmm. I'd love to just ask you, like, what would you say in response to the people who hear that we're going to talk about justice? They're going to hear that we're going to bring in a black pastor to talk with us about issues of race, and they're going to say, you know, you guys you're missing it. You're only talking about this issue because it's cultural, and it's not your place. You just need to teach the Bible. Stop talking about political issues and just teach the Bible. What would you say to that person?
Well, again, we pointed out in the passage in Matthew, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors ourself. And our black neighbors and our black brothers and sisters are calling upon their white brothers and sisters to speak up on their behalf. And I think it's because of the national spotlight put on the George Floyd murder that we can't turn a deaf ear to it. And we've done a disservice by not talking about it for so long. But when we do talk about it, these accusations, I would just ask all of you, and I'm going to ask you at the beginning of my message this coming Sunday, the 13th, we'll be setting up this whole series. I'm going to look at I'm going to talk more about Micah 6:8 and the other scriptures that talk about our responsibility to act justly. And I think we have to be empathetic, and we need to be better educated and learn and open. But I want to point out the part that says we're to humbly walk with our God, because here's my question to you, and you should ask yourself now, is what primarily shapes your views on these issues of racism and poverty and oppression and injustice and even systematic injustice? You know, some people have immediate visceral reactions, but if they're honest, I think a lot of it's shaped by three sources. One, by their political leanings.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like politics is just so, Democrats tend to be more social oriented, and they say the problem is systemic in our social system. And if we just change those systems, and then that will, racism will go away. And then yet conservatives tend to be more bent on individual responsibility and morality, and people would just make better choices. They wouldn't be in poverty. They wouldn't be suffering in injustice if they just stand up for themselves or whatever. And so there's these political leanings that shape the way you look at these volatile subjects. And then there's also the media. What media... And let's face it, there's a lot of disinformation or misinformation out there. And so depending if you're listening to CNN or Fox, or depending on what news source of news you get, you're getting variations of the truth. So it's up to us, which makes it challenging to find out what is actually the truth.
Yep.
And so I think that the question I go back to ask is, will you be humble enough to admit that maybe I'm wrong? Mm. You know, maybe the way I've been thinking is wrong. And so that's why I want us to bring us back to the Word of God. So I'm saying the motivation of doing this isn't to be politically correct or to just simply talk about a hot topic button, but it does make sense for us to deal with this, because we've got brothers and sisters and our black neighbors that are crying out. And we actually, there is poverty around us too that we need to do something about.
Yep.
And so that's been a conviction of mine for a long time, that in the Baptist church I grew up in, which I love and I'm grateful for, but even at Alderwood, we've been gradually working on that the last several years. And with the Compassion Center, we're making a greater attempt, putting our money where our mouth is, but so much more to do. So therefore, my whole desire in this whole series is that hopefully everyone will be objective and humble enough to say, am I thinking correctly about that? Where am I getting my, how's my opinion being formed? Is it politics? Is it media? Or there's another one, and sometimes people are overreacting theologically. They say anything to do with, as we are a very conservative church theologically, any mention of social justice, some people raise a flag and immediately say, well, that's social liberalism. And they've made they've taken Christianity apart and said, you know, there's this, in order to do justice issues, you have to be socially or theological liberal, and that's not true. The full gospel cares about the restoration of the soul, but the restoration of all of society, and we should care deeply about the injustices around us. And so therefore, the gospel is both the demonstration and the declaration. And Jesus clearly mentioned that. I mean, look at all the things Jesus did. He didn't have to. He could have just preached the gospel and that's it. But he preached to the poor. He came to take care of injustice. He came to heal people physically, emotionally, and spiritually too.
Yep. Yeah, and it wasn't just sermon illustrations for him.
Right.
He cares about people, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's why I love about this Micah 6 text, is that it just so clearly shows us that, you know, issues around justice, around the way that we treat people, especially groups that are different from us, mm-hmm. This is not a political issue. At least it's not just a political issue. It is a Bible issue. This is what God cares about. And so if we want to follow Jesus with our lives, then we have to care about what God cares about. And since he cares about justice, we have to as well. Well, Brad, I appreciate your time on this. I appreciate the conversation. I'm excited for us to get into this as a church. Before we let you go, you know, we call this First Look. And one of the things I just would love to ask our guests here is, as you have an opportunity to talk to many people who are going to be a part of small group discussions around this, many who are going to be leading those discussions, what would be the first piece of advice that you would give those leaders, especially this week, as we're going to have some conversations around some fairly tricky issues?
I think, what does God's word say? He says that we're to walk humbly with God, you know. And in the New Testament, James says, you know, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the opposite side of God.
Absolutely.
I don't want to resist God. So pride is this arrogance of saying, I've got all the answers. And number one, it's all centered around me and what I want. And also, I have all the knowledge and all the answers. So I think in humility, it's where we can approach a subject with an openness to learn. You know, right? And so first of all, I'd say humbly approach God's word and make sure that your attitudes and your understanding comes from the word of God and not politics are a source of media or an overreaction to your theology. And I would just encourage you to also humbly listen to the opinions of others and really seek to ask God, what is it? Help me to understand the truth, and what do you want me to do about this truth?
Yep.
So yep. That, I think that would be the best way to approach your conversation with others. Rather than to prove your point or to make your point, listen carefully and ask, am I getting this right? And what is it God wants me to do from this point forward?
Yep. Our life group leaders this week might have to be kind of a referee of sorts.
Might have to.
Yeah, they might need to keep reminding us, let's get back into the Word and just ask the question, what does the Bible say about this?
And be charitable, too, about people who have different opinions than you. You know, I think that's important, too. So be humble, be patient, and be charitable.
That's great advice.
Because a lot of people have a different opinion, you know, but hopefully we'll come back to what does God's Word say? And so maybe the question then is, you may not agree on the source of why we have these problems in our society, but what as believers are we to do from going forward? You may not ever agree on why the problem is here, but what should we do about the problem now moving forward? How can we represent Jesus Christ to our community by loving our Black neighbors ourselves?
It's a great word. Thank you, Brad. Awesome having you here. Thanks for your wisdom. Thanks for the time that you've put into really seeking God's will on this for our church. And I'm excited about this series. So thanks a lot.
Too. You're welcome.
All right. See you later.
Okay.
You have it. Episode 1 in the books. Thank you for joining us at First Look. I hope that this was a blessing to you. I hope that it gets you ready to come hear from Ricky Jenkins. I hope that it helps you get ready to have a edifying group discussion on this. And I just want to close with what Brad said at the end here. Let's be people who are humble, who are willing to listen to people even when we disagree, and who care about what God cares about. And I hope that this helps you grow as a follower of Jesus. Special thanks this week to Adam Pfizer, who helped us figure out how to record this thing and get it out there. Thank you, Adam. And also to Toby Fawn, who is our editor extraordinaire. We will be back next week as we continue this series. We'll be talking about an upcoming message with Sylvia Anderson from Everett Gospel Mission, who's going to be talking about local poverty. So have a great week. We'll see you then. And until then, let's keep following Jesus together. See ya.